Thank you for listening to this message from Mount Olive Church. We hope you enjoy it.
First of all, just get to it and say happy Mother's Day. We're just so glad y'all joined us today, our church family. It is an honor to speak to you today on Mother's Day. It is a special honor and surprise to have my mama here with me today. I didn't even know they were here. My sister, she's real sneaky, so she FaceTimed me outside at my own house. So I was so happy, and her girls are here, and I'm just so glad to be here and glad that they're here with me. Mama, first of all, we'll get to it. You're our hero. And we love you, and we honor you. Most people will look at Mama's situation, and they'd say she has lost a lot. A lot's been taken, but that's not her take on it. You know, she's lost some kidney function, and she's, of course, lost her voice. But she'll tell you, I'm blessed, don't you, Mama? All the time, she'll say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. She's fishing, and she's sewing, and she's just enjoying life. So we're just glad to have her here with us. We're just honored. I want to honor my husband in his absence. You all know that he is under doctor's care, Pastor Stevie, and we miss him. It was so great being in here today, church, and just worshiping with Pastor V and the praise team. It just, gosh, I miss it so bad, and I know he would love to be here, but I want to honor him today. I love you, sir, and I'm honored to speak on your behalf today. You just are awesome, and we just thank the world of you. As I said, he's under doctor's care, so you see each week you're seeing probably a different face. It's almost a surprise for you, I think, for all of us on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning. But God has blessed us here at Mount Olive, and we have, I think, six ministers, I think, Pastor V, am I right? And so God has trusted us with them. So each week, you know, they're getting some experience and they're growing. One day I'm sure God will look at us and say, what did you do with what I've given you? And we can say, and Pastor can say, I planted them in good soil and they grew for the kingdom. And so we're just so awesomely proud of them every week. The teaching, the music, it's not a performance, it's worship. And I thank God for that. So again, I'm honored to be here with my children. Holly, Bo, and Kelly, and Micah couldn't be with us today, but it's awesome to sit here with them, and they grew up on us so fast, and now we have grandchildren, so it's awesome to speak Mother's Day for you. It's so crazy. I was teaching Sunday school about months back, I think January in Corinthians, and I was running reference, and I came across Ezekiel, the word watchman. And I thought, wow, you know, I read about it, and it just gripped me when I began to read what God was saying to Ezekiel about being a watchman. I would wake up in the morning, and literally, as soon as my eyes opened, I would see that scripture, and I'd read about it. And I was just shaken to my core about the watchman on the wall. And I thought, man, Lord, why is this just gripping me this way? And then maybe a few weeks later, Pastor said, hey, I want to surprise everybody. I want you to speak on Mother's Day. I said, okay. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. You want me to talk about a watchman. And so I quickly said yes. And I said, I would be glad to teach about, you know, that, because I knew God had put it in my heart. So I began to research it, and then I began to pray and ask God, you know, God, who's a watchman? Who do you want me to talk about in your scripture? You know, who is it you want me to talk about? Well, listen to me. Please hear me if you hear nothing else. If you talk to God, he will talk back. He will speak to you. And sometimes you can't even make this stuff up when he speaks to you. It's so exciting. And I said, God, you know who? And I began to pray. And Rahab came to my mind. But when I said, Rahab? So let me ask you a question. Fill in the blank. Rahab the?
Harlot.
Harlot. Shame on y'all. Why in the world? I love Dr. Tony Evans. He says, why won't you give the sister a break? Every time you say her name, you got to call her harlot. You know, he said, why is it that way? Give her a break. You know, why do you say Rahab the harlot, right? And all through scripture. And I can't wait to dig into it with you because she's in the Old Testament here, but we'll find her in Joshua. We'll talk about that. We'll find her all over the New Testament again. And sometimes she's called Rahab the harlot, and a couple of times she's not. But I thought, Lord, and Dr. Tony Evans, he answered his own question. He said, I'll tell you why. Because God wants you to know that your past does not have to determine your future. You know, he wants you to know that, you know, so what if she was a harlot? That's what she was. She was a prostitute. I can't sweeten that for you. I can't make that sound any better. That was her profession. That was her resume. If you looked at her resume, it would read Rahab, profession, harlot. It would read prostitute. That's who she was. I'm not going to try to soften that for you. But God is saying, you know what? It's okay. I said, okay, I can use her too. And Dr. Tony Evans said it beautifully. He just said, it doesn't have to. God wants you to know. He wants you to know what she was. Because when you find out all who she is, it's really going to speak to you. So I'm excited about it. As I begin to read about that in Ezekiel, some of the scripture just gripped me. And so I'm going to read some to you. And I'm going to have Holly read a little bit as well. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to pray before we get started.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we're just so thankful for the opportunity, Lord, just to gather together and celebrate the gift of a mother. God, you love mothers, and you have placed them and called them, God, according to your purpose, God. Your plan for salvation, Lord, it included a mother. And so, God, we thank you for the gift of mothers this morning. I thank you for the gift of my mother. And I pray that as we dig into the word today, God, that you would just use her. God, that you would just speak through her to the hearts, Lord, of your people. We bless your name, God, and we bless your word as we break it together, God. May it be food for our souls this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I do talk about Rahab, I always have to tell this little quick story that's in the Bible about the woman at the well. It stirs my spirit when I talk about a past, because so many times we're just so broken and we stay stuck in our past and we can't get by it. But just like God wasn't intimidated about Rahab, I always think about the woman at the well, and Pastor V, you sang about that and it was so awesome. But the woman at the well, just to prove to us that God is not intimidated by our past. And Jesus told his disciples, you know, I got to go this way. Let's go this way. I got somebody I want to see. And they went. And I love it that the disciples, when they went, they went on to town. They went to town. And I think they were going to get food, if I'm not mistaken. And Jesus stayed there at the well. And the woman was there drawing water. And this is the epitome of him not being intimidated by our sin or our past. And the Bible says that he sat down at the well. He just sat right in the middle of her mess, Mama. And he told her all about herself. And, you know, she was there in the middle of the day. It was hot. And all the other women had already, they had already got their water probably that early that morning, or they were going to come that evening. I'm not sure. But they were certainly not there then. And she didn't want to be around them, Mama. She didn't want to hear them talk about her and put her down. It's what they were doing, because she had been a woman who had had all these men in her life. And the man she was with right then, Jesus told her, I know all about you. The one you're with now, he's not yours. And she was so broken. But he told her, I'm the living water. And she took of him. She accepted him. She went tearing out. She tore out to town, and she told everybody, I come see a man. And I could just hear some of those women right now, Bo. They'd probably say, yeah, I bet you saw a man. You're always seeing a man. Better not be my man, but not this time. This time she was different. She said, come on, you got to see. It was the man. She was a watchman on the wall, and we'll get into that scripture. I'm kind of just jumping ahead because I'm so excited. But she was a watchman on the wall. Sometimes we were on the wall. We have to report when we see the enemy come, but sometimes it's the good stuff. We got to go back and tell, you know, the good. And she went back and she told it, and they all came back and they got saved. And whenever they received Jesus too, disciples were in town. I could just hear them saying, where are they all going? What in the world? What's going on? This woman came tearing in here. But it's so incredible how God would use us. And if you're listening to me today, and maybe you have a sordid past and you think, God can't use me. You know, he ain't no way, because everybody knows about me. Oh, let me tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. He wants to use you. He wants your story. He can use you. So just thinking about how God is so amazing with using us, I want to hear us, I want to talk to you in the scripture in Ezekiel. If you want to turn to chapter 33, and we're going to read a little bit of that. When I read this, though, I want it to do you like it did me. It gripped me. But also, I want you to remember, here in the scripture, God is talking to Ezekiel. But he's talking about Israel. I want you to replace watchman for yourself. See yourself as the watchman. And also, I want you to see your family or your children, you know, as Israel. Okay, and I'm going to read, and we're going to come back, Holly, in a little bit, and we're going to revisit it. So 33:1 says, "Once again a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own." Remember that. Choose one of their own to be a watchman. "When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm but ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives." Now, I want you to listen to 6 through 9, and Holly's going to come back and read that again. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Wow. "Now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself." Wow. I just want to say to mamas here today, we're the watchmen. We're the watchmen on the wall. God forbid that the blood of our children be on our hands. God forbid that we stick our head in the sand and we don't warn them when the enemy's coming. God forbid I don't say, Bo, the devil's trying to get your marriage, buddy. We're not going to let that happen. Kelly, be careful. He's trying to get in your mind, Kelly. I see that happening. Holly, don't let him have your children, baby. My mama has always warned me. She's always come, and she is very, if you know my mama, she's very blunt. She'll tell it like it is. Yes, she will. And she would tell us in love, and she would warn us, and she prayed for us and covered us. We are the watchmen. Mamas, we are the watchmen. We have so much responsibility, not just for our children, but for our husbands, for our families. And I think that scripture is so incredible. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Ken's going to get me for dropping my mic. Verse 3 mentions that when we see the enemy coming and the Lord knows we have the enemy. Let me tell you something. We have an enemy. He's coming. It's the devil. Don't you ever think you're sitting there under the sound of my voice, if you hear me, if you're not in a season right now, you'll go through one. You've been through one. What is it they say? You're going out, coming in, or you're in something. And that sounds like doom, but it's just life. But it's okay, because we have our Father to be with us for that, and we're going to be okay. The Holy Spirit, if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit when the enemy comes, you're not going to recognize him. Now, Brother Mike, that terrifies me. That if the enemy was coming, and for my family, and I'm the watchman on the wall, and I don't see the enemy coming, and something happens on my watch, that's a sad day. Verse 4 and 5 explain that when we warn them, and they don't listen, that the blood, it's going to be on them. Now, that sounds easy to say, but when it's your children, you can say if you want, all right, don't listen, that's on you. It's not. We love our children, and it's not going to be that easy, but we have to warn them for sure. Now, verses 6 through 9, Holly's going to read again for us. It just rocked me to my core, and I really want to teach really strong from these verses right here, Holly. Read that again.
"But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins. But I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Now,
Son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself.
I mean, I hope that grips you like it grips me. I feel like it just grabs me in my collar, and just, I feel like Holy Spirit just, you know, really, when I read that, like he just grabbed me and pulled me close to him and just said, do you see the responsibility of a mama? And you know, if I had a title this today, I'd title it this, you better watch, mama. Mama, you better watch. Don't you sleep on it. Later on at the end, I'm going to tell you some scripture that Isaiah says about the watchman that just, I found this last night as I was studying. I hadn't even, didn't have it, and God just really brought it to me. But we need to understand that it's our responsibility. Listen what King James says about that, what Holly just read. It says that the watchman sounds, if the watchman sounds not the alarm, the blood will be required to the watchman's hands. It also goes on, it just explained it. A watchman who has alerted and tells them what's going on has clean hands, but the one who has not has blood-stained hands. So if you alert your family, you let them know that the enemy's coming, then you know the blood. You know you have clean hands, whether they listen or not. And we're going to get into it. I want to give a little bit of a personal testimony before I get into Rahab, why this gets me. So when we first moved here, Bo was 19, and he stayed with mom and daddy. He was enrolled at school at Sampson Community College, and we didn't really know what to do. So we left him there with mom and daddy, and we all moved here. Holly was in college at the time. And I want to start out by saying that I've not always got it right. I still don't get it right all the time, that's for sure. I'm ashamed of some of the things I let slip by me, things maybe I just didn't see it. I'll go to my grave regretting some decisions with my children that I let get by me. The enemy just slipped through, and that's on me. But when I learned that and I begin to just ask God to make me better and a better mother, I begin to become a better watchman. And one night, if you know me, you know I sleep well. That's not a problem I have. I go to sleep early, and I sleep all throughout the night. Well, one night, Bo was 19, and I was awoken. I was awoken. It was 2:30. I'll never forget it. I was dead out of a sleep, and I woke up, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm just so awake. What is it? And I felt Bo in my spirit. I felt God saying, pray. Pray for Bo. And I just began to pray. And Bo, 14 or 13, started coon hunting. 13 years old, he became a coon hunter. And he had a little dog named Kent, and that was just his best friend. He would hunt, and I don't know what Dad and I were thinking, letting you hunt like that. He had a couple of older guys he would hunt with, and he would go and hunt. And that night, I just said, well, God, he's probably hunting. He's probably lost Kent. I'm just going to pray. And I just began to pray and pray, and I said, God, protect him. Cover him. Let your blood cover him. You know, help him to be okay, God, and just wherever he is, help him making good choices. The next morning, I got up, I called him, and I said, Bo, I said, are you okay? Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, he said. I said, did anything happen last night? No, ma'am, no. I'm fine. He always says that. I'm fine. You know, are you making good choices? Yes, ma'am. I miss you, Ma. I miss you. You know, I'm making good choices. But that was not true. Years later, he told me what happened that night, and I do want him to share that before I go on with Rahab.
So, at 19 years old, I started to choose a life of sin. I watched my family, they devoted their life to God and their callings, and I chose that I didn't want to live that life. I started to see what the world had to offer, and one night I went a little too far, and I let sin hold me a little longer than what I wanted to go. I began to try different drugs and try different things with people, and I just chasing after a feeling that I felt like I had to have. So one night, you know, I got with some guys, and we tried some drugs, and about midnight that night, I began to become paralyzed where I couldn't move. And there was one guy left with me, and the other guys, they left us because they thought we were dying, and they didn't want to be tied up in that. But like I said, I don't know what was in the drugs. Some people, you know, could say it's fentanyl. Some people could say it was PCP. I weren't a drug addict. I just decided to try some drugs that night. But all I do know is that I was dying. And the guy beside me, he was having a seizure, foaming out his mouth, and I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything to help him. And I sat there that night, and I said, you know, this is beyond me, how I'm dying, and I'm not even a drug addict. Like, my mama's going to find me, my grandma's going to find me, and they're going to have to live with the thoughts that they let me down because they didn't know that I decided to waste the very breath that God gave me to snort dope up my nose. Like, that ain't even who I am. But as I sat there, you know, I thought about making peace with God. I looked at the guy beside me, and I felt I let him down. And hours passed, and I remember looking at the clock. And at 2:36 a.m. that morning, I came to, just like that. And I went home. And, you know, I'd like to tell you that I gave my life to God then. I didn't, but I didn't understand. That next morning, my mom called me. She said, you know, you're all right. You're okay. And I didn't want to tell her the truth. But I say this to say that all these people out here, you know, all these mamas that's got a son or a daughter or that's running the streets or just running wild and you're pulling your hair out, keep praying and keep being a watchman, because the very breath that God gave me, I chose to waste it. He got off of his throne. He got off of his throne to tell her, get up, your son's dying. He don't care about his life, but you care about it because I hear you praying every day. And because of her relationship with God and her being a watchman on the wall, I'm here today. And I thank God for his mercy and grace.
Praise God. I'm like Bob. I like to say that I always got it right. And, hey, I'd wake up every time. But, you know, that shook me when he told me later. And it made me more aware. It made me say, you know, sometimes we see things our children are doing and we kind of stick our head in the sand. We don't want to deal with it. But deal with it. Deal with it on your knees and pray. Lord knows he had a praying grandma. Lord have mercy. She'd praying for him and she'd go in the coon woods and help bring out the dogs and she'd do everything else. But God is so good. Being a watchman, I want to tell you this, and I'm going to narrate the rest of my story. And I feel Holy Spirit really speaking. I thank God for that. I thank him that he's real. He's not a fairy tale. He's real, and he's real right now. Pastor V and his team, they usher him in so that when we come in, he's already here. And I thank God for that. But I want to tell you that it's a responsibility to be that mother. They don't always like what you say, but it's okay. You be that watchman. You sound that alarm. Here's what they would say to the watchman. Hey, watchman, what say ye of the night? Or hey, watchman, what of the night? Your children may look at you sometimes, and they want to know, Mama, what's going on? You know, my life is a mess, Mama. What do you say about that? Let me tell you about Rahab. I couldn't make this up. It's so good. It's so good, Pastor V. I couldn't even make it up. As I began to hear Rahab, I thought, Rahab the harlot, Lord, I've heard it preached a little bit, but I don't know. But you want me to talk about watchmen on the wall? Pastor V, I began to study. And Bo, I found out that Rahab's house was in the wall. I mean, that's God. I said, God, you are amazing. You know, this is who you want me to talk about. Her house was embedded in the wall. And then some say it was on the wall. But however, it was the walls of Jericho. She was the watchman on the wall. Now, Rahab, at this time, Joshua had come and Moses was gone. And Joshua, you know, God had told Joshua, hey, I'm going to be with you too, Joshua. I wasn't just with Moses. I'm going to give you land too. I'll do whatever you need me to do. He said, you send two spies and go and search out Jericho, but I'm going to give you the land. That's a wrap. It's yours. But go anyway and just do this. So he did it, sent two spies. They go to Rahab. Go right to her, and right off the bat, she takes them in, and somebody hears about it. Now, it's not anything uncommon for men to be at her house, okay, because that's her business, but somebody recognized those guys. They were not like everybody else in Jericho, and so and she was pagan, remember, pagan parents, pagan, raised pagan, out of worship, but she takes in those spies, and she hides them, and the men come, and they say, oh, we heard about those men are here. She said, oh, they came, but they're gone, long gone now. They're gone, you know. So the men, she said, you might can catch them if you go on, you know. So they go on, they leave. And she goes right to the men and she says, okay, all right. She said, they're gone. But now here's what I want to tell you. I know your God. I've been watching. I've been listening. I heard all about him. She said, I heard how your God parted the sea. I heard how he gave you those. I could look it up and tell you, but I just feel like I just want to tell you a story about it. These two kings you took over there, you destroyed these two kings in a battle. Y'all bad. That's what Tony Evans said. Y'all bad. She said, I know God's all right. This is your land. I know you're going to take it. Here's what I want to tell you. Because I know your God is real. He's the real God. I want you, when you come and take the land, I want you to save me. I want you to save my mama, my daddy, my brothers and my sisters, and all their family. Don't forget us. And they said, we'll do it. We'll do it. She had faith in a God that she'd never served. But I want to tell you about her. She was not just watching. She was listening. She'd been hearing. And she said to him, we're all terrified. Everybody here in Jericho, we hear about y'all. Like, we're scared to death because we know what the end's going to be. She said, but when it all goes down, will you just remember me? So sure enough, they said, yes, we'll do it. And they leave, and I think maybe in chapter 6 it comes on later on in Joshua 6, and we know the story about the walls come down. But Joshua said, hey, now go get Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute, and her family. They took her out. They relocated her in Israel. And the scripture says, and she lives there to this day. Now, not today, obviously, but when the scripture was written, they said that's where she lived. Gosh, it gets so much better. So she's saved. She starts living. She knows that God is a real God. Later on, I'll tell you that. Let me see. I don't want to ruin it for you about in Matthew, Pastor V. Don't ruin it. I know you're dying to tell what happens to her in Matthew. But I love it. James talks about her. James tells about her. He says how she's faith, how her faith, how she found favor with God. She was right with God. In Hebrews, of all places, Rahab is mentioned in the heroes of faith. There are two women mentioned, Sarah and Rahab the harlot. Now, if you're listening to me today and you say, God can't use me, ain't no way. I have messed up my life. I am a hot mess. Miss Elaine, you don't know what I've done. And God, ain't no way. Let me tell you, this woman sold sex for a living. That's how she earned her money. And yet we find her in the New Testament where James is talking about her. Hey, you remember Rahab? Man, she was right with God. She got it right. She didn't always have it right, but she got it right. She got it right. And then the heroes of faith. They're talking about all these heroes of faith. Abraham, and I was looking back at Enoch, who walked with God, and Sarah. If Abraham was the father, you know, of Israel, then she's the mother of Israel, you know. And there is Rahab the harlot. You know, there she is. And so God is saying, hey, I can use you. I can use you. But I just have to tell you one more place you're going to find her. And my husband would say, in his absence, I say this lovingly, are you ready? You ain't ready. I ain't got no help in here. In Matthew chapter 1, if you don't know this, and if you do, you're like, get on with it, Miss Elaine, I know that. But if you don't, I'm just getting ready to rock your world. Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Jesus. There she is, Mama. That's right. Mama said, there she is. The genealogy of Jesus, the family tree of our Savior. There she is, Mama. She cannot mess it up bad enough that God couldn't use her. And there she is in Matthew. And I just want to read to you, Lord, I'm slow, not even. I got to try to find it. But I do want to read that to you because it's just too good not to. Praise the Lord. I just thank God that he can use us all. Let me put my little glasses on here. Praise the Lord. That's right. Mama said, there she is. Okay. I'm going to read this to you because I don't want to mess this up. Remember, Rahab was a watchman on the wall, which changed her life forever. Obviously, she married an Israelite. His name was Salmon. And it's very interesting, though, who he was. Chronicles says that he was the father of Bethlehem. Some scholars say he was an architect or the builder of the city. Matthew says in verse 5 this, Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was
Rahab. Now, I just got to pause here for all the young ladies, all the single ladies. Everybody wants Boaz. We hear about it all the time. I want my Boaz. Look who his mama was. It was Rahab, Pastor V. Rahab raised him. She raised that boy right. I mean, he was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. I mean, when she showed up in his field, he had it going on. I mean, he was amazing. And that his mama was Rahab the harlot. She used to be a harlot. When she raised that boy, she had changed her life. She was no longer that. So Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was none other than Rahab. Here, they don't call her the harlot. I told you that earlier. This was, and I'll tell you why, that was who she was, not who she is now. Now, we all know Boaz, and we talked about that. I said he was the most eligible bachelor. If the bachelor was on TV back then, if they had TV, it would be Boaz, and everybody would be wanting him, and he had it together. So you know his mama was a watchman on the wall. She was watching for her boy, let me tell you, and she raised him right. So he is in the family tree, but I want to tell you what else it says. Oh, yeah. So Salmon and Rahab had a baby boy named Boaz, who had a baby boy named Obed, whose mama was Ruth. Just talked to you about her. Another watchman on the wall. Obed had a baby boy named Jesse. Jesse had a baby boy named David, mama. That's right. Had a David. David grew up to be a king. King David, and we know Jesus comes from this royal origin of David. You see, Jesus, he came here as a man, but he's our king, so he had to have some royalty there. Pastor V loves to talk about that, and he could probably kill this part for me. And Jesus comes from the line of David. So, did I not prove to you, Rahab? You can read it yourself. Pastor V, I tell you, if you don't love studying the Bible, it's because you're not sitting down really trying, because it's so good. There's so much good stuff in there. I said earlier that she listened. She also learned by what she saw. You know, when she saw what was going on, she learned that what their God was the one true God. But I love here where she left a legacy. She left a legacy of, you know, changing who you are and letting God use you. And I love this. And I said, I want to read this to you because I do not want to. I really had a lot of prayer, a lot of time with God, just really asking him, what do you want me to tell mothers today? And I know that this is it. She left that legacy. And this really rocked me, too, when I read this. I found God really showed this to me last night because this was not going to be in my message. But talking about being a watchman and the importance of being a watchman, watching out and warning your children. And we want to, and it said to us earlier, Holly read it, if you're watching and you're not warning them, your hands will be bloodstained. Now, I don't know about you, but when I face God one day, you know, and I don't want him to say, you know, what in the world did you do with those children? Now, hear me well. Do they always do what we ask them to do? Absolutely not. Are they always going to listen? No. Hey, no. Look, he just told us. But listen, the Bible says train up a child in the way he's got. And when they're older, it won't depart from them. It does not mean the child. It is the training. The training won't depart. He couldn't get away from it. He told me a while back when he finally gave his heart to the Lord, he said, Ma, I got something to tell you. I'm finally saved. He said, I'm finally saved, Ma. Didn't he, Mama? He said, I got it right. I said, I would tell my husband, I'd say, Stevie, talk to him. Stevie, you know, do this. Stevie, do this. He said, E, God's got to run him down. He'll get him. You know, let him hit. Sometimes he's just got to bump the stump, as he'll call it. You know, I said, Lord, Stevie, I just can't, you know, you got to do something. He said, E. But I want to tell you this last thing about the watchman that it just, oh, I just read this and it tore me up. And if you have your Bible, please mark this. I want you to mark Ezekiel 33 so you can go back and read it, mamas. Listen, mama, I'm telling you to watch. Say, watch, mama. Now, I'm telling you, don't sleep on it. Watch. And you don't want the blood of your family. And when I say your children, you know, it's Mother's Day, but we also have responsibility to our husbands. Our husbands, we have to cover their blind side. There are sometimes things they can't see that we can see. And we need to make sure we're doing it for our whole family. Isaiah mentions this in Isaiah 56:10. King James Version says this. Sometimes old King Jimmy, as my children call it, sometimes you just got to read it in the King James. It said, that talking about some watchmen from Israel, they are blind, they are ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. Yeah, that's in our Bible. They cannot bark. Now, I don't know about you, if I have a dog and he's supposed to be a watchdog protecting me, Pastor V, I need him barking. I need him to know if somebody comes up and he doesn't bark, what good is that? And this is what Isaiah said. They dream, lie down, and love to sleep. Just lazy. God forbid I ever be that type of watchman. My mama wasn't that watchman. She watched for us. And sometimes we didn't like it, but she told us, didn't she, Gina? She told us anyway. She'd even tell us when we gained weight. She'd say, getting a little bit, you know. Don't sleep on it. Sound the alarm. When your children, you know, if God is asking you right now, I pray he is. I pray that when you close your eyes asleep at night, you hear the words, hey, watchman, what say ye of the night? Hey, mama, what of the night? Are you watching? What do you see, mama? What are you doing about it? Listen, spend time with God. Pray and seek him. He will speak to you. He will reveal things to you. They won't always listen, I promise you that. But my cry is that we never come down from the wall and that the blood of our family never be on our hands. We better watch, Mama. We better watch. Your children are depending on you to watch and warn them. And listen, when they get grown, it's not any easier. As a matter of fact, it's a little harder, isn't it, Mama? Because they're adults then. And you think, well, you know, how do I, you know, get in their business sometimes? Talk to God about it. He'll talk back. Some people say, I don't know. What does God sound like? They think we're super spiritual when we say, Brother Mike, God talked to me. He does talk to us. He talked to me in this word. As loud as I'm talking to you right now, I heard watchman, watchman. And I don't know who this is for. Maybe you're a mama out there and maybe you don't know the Lord. And maybe you are like Rahab was and you didn't know him, but you've heard about him. Then I urge you to do like she did, find him. I can lead you into a prayer that is simple. We think it's the earth's going to shake and the enemy makes us think that, oh, you're not saved when we give our heart. But it's simple. It's in your mouth. You believe in your heart and then you confess it with your mouth and then you are saved. Maybe you're a mama maybe you're there. And not just mamas, of course our fathers. There's a huge responsibility on the shoulder of our husbands and our fathers. You know, they're going to stand before God one day too for the family. They sure will. And it's a big responsibility. And so if you're a man out there or a woman and maybe you don't know the Lord and maybe you've not been watching. Maybe you're a parent and you've done like I admitted. I'm not proud. There's been things that I let slip by me, you know. And maybe I was busy doing other things. It could have been ministry. You know, we've been in ministry a long time. But thank God, you know, that I could go to him and I can ask forgiveness and I can say, God, help me to see. Help me be that watchman that I don't let anything. I don't want to be this the watchman Isaiah talks about, the one that's like a dumb dog. I mean, I'm just sitting there. I can't even bark. I can't even speak when my children need me. I don't want to be that. I want to be able to sound that alarm. I want to be able to sound that alarm. So if you're out there today, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm just going to go through the sinner's prayer for you. And it's not as hard as what you think. You have a church family here. We want to hear from you. I just told you, my son just boldly told you of his own testimony. My children could tell you, I told you that we've dropped the ball many times. But this is a place where there are some incredible people who want to tell you their story. We want to hear your story, and we want to lead you to the Lord. And if you're that mama, or that daddy, and you have not you've not been watching. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've backslidden. I want to help you find your way back. Remember, it's not too late. Nothing you could do would be bad enough that Jesus would not save you. He would not come into your heart. I love what Bo told me one time. He said that somebody told him what kind of, it was an atheist. He said, what kind of God would tell a man to take his son up there and sacrifice him and then get up there and change his mind on him, just playing head games? And Bo told him, he said, the kind of God that did that, he took his son and really sacrificed him. That's the kind of God he is. He gave his son for us. So I'm going to lead you in prayer right now. God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that it is real. It is alive. It is living right now, God. It's true. We can stand on it. It will never, ever fall, God. It will never fall. So right now, Lord, if there's anyone out here, I'm just going to pray, God, that you would enter into their heart. So if you're here, I just want you to repeat after me. I am a sinner, or I am a backslider. Maybe you're just a Christian who've become lukewarm or cold. And Scripture said he spewed lukewarm out of his mouth. So wherever you are in your walk, I just want you to know that Jesus is right there. So Lord, those of those who may be unsaved, repeat after me. Lord, I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sin. God, I don't want to live this life anymore. I don't want to be this way. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and live forever. I will confess it with my mouth. I will believe that you died on a cross and you rose again, and I can live for you. Come into my heart, Lord. Those, Lord, who may be lukewarm, maybe they're just at a place, a season in their life, God, that they're just not where they want to be. God, we've all been there, Lord. Lord, like in the book of Esther where you're not mentioned, your name's not there, but you were there. Sometimes we don't feel you, we don't see you, but God, you're there every time, God. You never leave us. You're working it out for our good. So those of us who are here and listening right now, I ask you to bless right now, God. Bless them, come into their heart. Lord, just renew the love and commitment for you. Help us to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, for every mama, God, every grandmother, Lord, every father, every boy, every girl, Lord God, help us to be the watchman that you called us to be. Lord God, forbid the blood be on our hands of our children and our family. Help us to be aware. Help us to pay attention. Help us to not let the enemy come, Lord, and sneak in like a thief and devour our families. God, help us to be bold. Help us to speak, Lord, and not be afraid with courage what you've given us. Help us to hear from you, Lord. Help us to learn that you are here. And Holy Spirit, when you come and speak, just hover, Lord, around us. Love on us, God. Help us to recognize your voice and have the courage to speak. So right now, Lord, as we ask the question, watchmen, what say ye? What of the night watchmen? Give us a supernatural eye, God, that we can see that enemy coming from a long way, God, and we can sound the alarm, God, and that our family would hear, God, you'd have mercy on their souls. And everything you do, Lord, we'll always give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. What an honor it has been to sit here and just to break the bread and just the scriptures and learn from his word. He's real. He's good. He's here right now. And we feel him in our, and I am so sure that right now in your living rooms you feel him too, because he's omnipresent. You know he's everywhere at the same time. He's not just here. So I just thank him right now. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're doing in our lives, God. In our church.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more access to our worship experiences, visit us at Mount Olive PH Church, 610 Normal Street in Pembroke, North Carolina, or join us online via Facebook.